eaten in over 8 hours. She'd gotten into a huge argument with Gloria earlier that day over redecorating the pool house, Chris's favorite part of the estate, and had relied on her irritation for sustenance until she met up with Nate.
It is. Nate opened the door with a flourish. After you, m'lady.
She narrowed her eyes. Sure, he was mocking her, but she was too hungry to put up a fight. The restaurant was in a strip mall, squeezed between a Western Union and a discount shoe store. The interior resembled that of any cheap, casual cafe. Light brown tile floors, rickety four-top tables crowded with uncomfortable-looking wooden chairs, and a counter in the back for ordering. Miscellaneous announcements and posters papered the green and orange walls, and a string of Christmas lights fluttered in the breeze coming from the ceiling fans, even though it was June and the holidays were long over.
Thursday nights are the chandeliers and linen tablecloths nights off, Nate drawled when he noticed her inspection.
I eat at non-5-star restaurants all the time. Yes, Chris preferred chandeliers and linen tablecloths, but some of the best restaurants were holes in the wall. Her year abroad in Shanghai had cemented that belief. The soup dumplings in that dingy little hole by campus, to die for. Never mind the fact that the first time Olivia dragged her to that place, Chris had thought she would die of some terrible disease by letting her skin touch the gross chairs.
If you say so.
Nate's long legs ate up the distance between the door and the order counter, where he picked up a laminated menu and tossed it at her.
You'll love the food here, promise. Best Filipino in town.
So you keep saying. Despite her disbelieving sniff, Chris's mouth watered at the sight of the food on the nearby tables, and a wave of nostalgia crashed over her at the familiar, delicious smells. Even though Chris was a third-generation Filipino-American, her family didn't eat Filipino food often. Not since their old cook and housekeeper Rosa passed away when Chris was 13. Rosa had been with the Carreras for decades. She'd helped raise Chris from birth and had been the closest thing to a mother figure in Chris's life. Rosa's death had devastated Chris. None of the chefs and housekeepers her father had hired since compared, and none of them could whip up a home-cooked Filipino meal like Rosa could. In fact, their current chef in Seattle, a whip-thin blonde named Charity, yes, that was her real name, delighted in making meals more suitable for rabbits than humans. After consulting their menus, Chris and Nate placed their orders and snagged a table by the window. Nate insisted on paying, and Chris let him. It was his money. He could do with it what he liked. Plus, according to the handwritten sign taped to the front of the cash register, the restaurant didn't accept Amex. Nevertheless, Chris felt compelled to set the record straight. This isn't a date. You didn't have to pay.
It was the gentlemanly thing to do.
You're no gentleman. She wavered between setting her crocodile Saint Laurent bag on the sticky wooden table or the cracked vinyl seat cushion next to her. Both options caused her to shudder. She finally hung the bag delicately from the back of the neighboring chair. You're far too arrogant. Nate, who'd watched her debate the best resting place for her handbag in silence, looked like he was trying not to laugh, and Chris didn't know why. What was so funny about taking care of her Saint Laurent?
Those things have nothing to do with the other, he said.
Gentlemen don't need to broadcast the fact they're gentlemen, Chris pointed out haughtily.
Perhaps not.
A mischievous gleam lit up his eyes.
But you don't look like the type of girl who'd want a gentleman, so I'm not too bothered.
A lazy curl of heat stretched and yawned in her stomach, filling her insides with warmth. Save your flirting for Gloria, it won't work on me. Nate smirked. Luckily, the waiter brought out their food before he could contradict her, which she was sure he would do, because he seemed to enjoy contradicting everything she said. Fortunately, the food was so good they both lapsed into silence as they devoured their feast. Tender pork adobo, lechon kawali, crispy deep-fried pork belly, kare-kare stew, and sinanga garlic fried rice. The quiet gave Chris time to regroup.
She hated that Nate rattled her so much. Normally, she had little use for the opposite sex other than, well, sex. Men were untrustworthy, boring, or indifferent. Too caught up in their work to pay attention to the women in their lives, like her father. And Chris would rather be alone with her freedom than suffer through a relationship with someone she didn't like. She'd quickly tired of the few boyfriends she'd had in the past and had settled for casual flings and one-night stands when the need arose. Luckily, Chris had remarkable control over her libido, and she could satisfy her sexual urges herself most of the time. However, Nate stirred a lust inside her she hadn't thought possible. The way his throat flexed when he swallowed his food. Chris reached for her glass of water. Was it just her? Was it hot in here? How did you find out about this place? She asked. Long Beach is, as you mentioned, a long way from Hollywood. Chris wasn't one for idle conversations with strangers. And Nate was, at the end of the day, a stranger, considering she knew next to nothing about him. But the warmth and food had lulled her into an odd complacency. She wanted to know what lay beneath Nate's chiseled good looks. And her conviction that he actually possessed depth surprised her almost as much as her interest in his background did.
My mom. She loved exploring new neighborhoods and trying new things, especially food. Oddly, she wasn't great in the kitchen except for baking cookies.
Nate's mouth curled with amusement.
But she could sniff out a good restaurant like no other. This was one of her favorites.
Chris examined the far-off look in his eyes and the smile lurking at the corners of his lips. The kind people only get when they were lost in the wells of memory. Was? As in past tense? The smile fell. Pain clouded Nate's face before he covered it up with a blank expression.
She died 5 years ago. Plane crash.
Something welled in Chris's throat. The emotion was so unfamiliar it took her a few beats to identify it as sympathy. It sounds like she lived a good life before she passed. That was the only response Chris could think of. She hated platitudes like, "I'm sorry," in the wake of tragedy. Such sentiments were so common and expected they lost all meaning. Plus, what the hell was someone supposed to say to, "I'm sorry"? Thank you? It's okay?
She did.
Nate's mouth softened. He appeared grateful that Chris hadn't showered him with pity the way most people would have.
Sometimes I bring my sister here for old time's sake, but not as often as I'd like. She's coming up on her senior year of high school and is swamped with activities and college prep, and I have work and auditions all the time.
He stabbed at a piece of pork.
It's the first time I've been here in months.
The knowledge Nate had brought her to this specific restaurant, one that meant a lot to him and his family, stirred a part of Chris she hadn't known existed. My mother's gone too. She wanted to snatch her confession back the instant it left her mouth. She never talked about her mother. Ever. Not with her father, not with her best friends, and certainly not with beautiful men who made her heart pound for the first time in God knew how long. But it was too late. She'd already said them. And Chris wasn't one to back down from her words. She didn't die, she added. She left when I was two. She pushed the rice around on her plate. Her parents had been a love match. That was what her father told her. But if that were true, how could her mother just walk away like that from the man she loved? From her daughter? To this day, Chris hadn't received an explanation as to why her mother left. Roger Carrera shut down any discussion of his ex-wife and had removed all traces of her from the house. No pictures, no trinkets, no heirlooms. Other than hazy memories of dark hair and tanned skin, Chris barely remembered what her mother looked like. She supposed she could have fought her father harder on the subject, but Chris was too proud to dwell on anyone who abandoned her, even if that person had brought her into this world.
Her loss, Nate said.
Chris's gaze snapped up to meet his. The tiniest of smiles touched her lips. Yes, it is. She was glad she wasn't the only one who hated platitudes. Chris and Nate lingered over dinner, discussing any topic that came to mind. Food, movies, music, and exchanging random facts related to their respective areas of expertise long after they'd cleared their plates of food. Nate made an impassioned argument for why the Lakers were the best basketball team in the country, like he wasn't biased as an LA resident, while Chris explained the difference between St. Moritz and Aspen for ski aficionados. St. Moritz is more glamour and five-star hotels, but celebrities love Aspen, she said. It's where the beautiful people go. Personally, Chris preferred St. Moritz, especially after a dreadful Christmas vacation in Aspen with her father and Gloria this past winter. She would never forgive Gloria for convincing her father to spend winter break in Colorado instead of St. Barth's like the Carreras always did. A white Christmas. Who would want such a thing? The whole point of a winter getaway was to get away to somewhere warm.
Good to know, Nate said dryly. I don't intend to visit either place, since I hate flying.
Chris's water glass paused halfway to her lips. You want to be an actor. That involves a fair amount of flying. Even if you only shoot movies in LA, you still have to go on press tours. He shrugged.
I'll do it if I have to, but I don't fly for fun.
She assessed his unease with a sharp eye. Is this a lifelong fear, or did it pop up 5 years ago? Nate glared at her, and Chris met his gaze straight on, unflinching.
It doesn't matter.
If you say so. He made an impatient noise.
We've stayed too late. The restaurant is about to close.
Sure enough, the waiters were stacking chairs on the tables in a not-so-subtle hint for Nate and Chris to leave. It was as clear an end to their conversation as Nate's abrupt subject change. Chris glanced at the clock and was shocked to see they'd been here for hours. Normally, that much time in one person's company would have compelled her to either stab herself out of boredom, but she'd actually enjoyed herself. She had enough cash for a tip, which she insisted on covering since Nate had paid for the food. And they exited the restaurant with full bellies and a strange charge in the air. No signs of food poisoning yet, so you're in the clear, for now, Chris said. But her voice lacked its usual bite. Nate smirked.
Lucky me.
The lights from a passing car swept across his face, illuminating his finely carved features. A thick lock of golden brown hair fell over his forehead and partially obscured one eye. The urge to brush the wayward hair back seized Chris, who crossed her arms over her chest to prevent any foolish actions on her part. Electricity danced in the air between them, so thick and strong her skin buzzed. Was it just her, or had Nate's eyes changed color? They were no longer emeralds, but dark, lustful pools of sin that sucked her in until she couldn't breathe. She suddenly realized he had a mole near his upper lip. It was so tiny it would have escaped most people's notice. Far from an imperfection, the mole only drew more notice to the firm, sensual curve of his lips. Chris's heart pounded against her chest. They were so close. All she had to do was take one step forward and... Nate drew back, and a shudder fell over his face.
Saturday at noon, then?
The crisp, detached rumble of his voice chased away any remaining electricity. Chris blinked, caught off guard by the sudden change in the atmosphere before she remembered what they were doing here. They weren't lovers parting ways after a date. She'd hired him, for Christ's sakes. Their relationship was as romantic as that of a chauffeur and passenger, or plumber and client. Not to mention, a kiss would have been so unpleasant. Hello, they just ate garlic rice. At least, that was what she told herself. Yes, see you then. Saturday at noon was the only time Chris could guarantee Gloria would be at the house. That was when she had her weekly sessions with her yogi slash personal trainer slash spiritual teacher, whatever the fuck he was, in the mansion's Planet Fitness-sized gym. Chris flashed Nate a brittle smile and sped walk to her car, furious with herself for the momentary lapse of control. Nate Reynolds was a means to an end. Nothing more.
Chapter 6. Why do you look so spiffy? Skylar's eyes narrowed with suspicion. You used the word spiffy. Are you sure you're 17? Nate eyed her with equal suspicion. Don't change the subject. His sister leaned against the doorframe of their kitchen and sipped her orange juice with a speculative expression. Are you going on a date? Excitement shimmered in her eyes at the prospect. Sorry to crush your hopes, but no. Not in the usual sense, he added silently. Nate straightened his collar, feeling itchy and uncomfortable in his pale blue button-down. He preferred the comfort of his old T-shirts, but Chris had mentioned Gloria was fond of the preppy look, so he'd dutifully dressed for the part. He'd also put more effort into taming his tousled hair and applied cologne, even though he despised cologne almost as much as he did button-downs. Skylar persisted.
Why not? You could totally get a date if you wanted to. My friends all have a huge crush on you.
Nate suppressed a flinch. Your friends are in high school. Are you trying to land me in jail?
I'm not saying date one of them. Ew, gross much? I'm just pointing out the fact that you are not without appeal.
Thanks, he said wryly.
I'm serious.
Skylar finished her juice, set it on a nearby table, and walked over to Nate. She circled him with her critical eye.
I think she'd like you.
Tension bunched in Nate's shoulders. No. He knew Skylar well enough to know what she had in mind, and he was not on board. He'd rather have his fingernails pulled off one by one than get set up on a date. By his baby sis, no less. Someone get the pliers. Skylar pouted.
You don't know who I'm talking about.
No.
You're around the same age, and she is so pretty.
No. A huff of exasperation.
Do you want to die old and alone?
I don't need you matchmaking for me. I do just fine with women, thank you very much. Nate wasn't being arrogant, it was the truth. It took him less time to pick up a girl than it did for him to check out groceries at the supermarket. That was the way it had been all his life. Except for Chris. But she was a special case. His heart rate kicked up at the prospect of seeing her in less than an hour, and he ran a hand through his hair until it... Wait. What the hell was he doing? Racing heart and fidgeting with his hair, he was acting like a damn schoolboy with a crush. Nate lowered his arm with a frown.
Yeah, but you haven't had a girlfriend since high school, and she only lasted 6 weeks,
Skylar pointed out.
Don't you think it's time to...
No. Her face crumpled into a scowl.
You need to expand your vocabulary.
You need to stop being so nosy about my love life, he countered. As much as I'm loving this conversation, not. I have to go. Lunch is in the fridge. Do not order takeout, especially not from that sketchy place down the street. Remember what happened last time? They both grimaced, remembering the deceivingly delicious tacos that had sent them running to the bathroom all night long. Talk about Montezuma's revenge.
I won't, even though reheated chicken tastes like ass,
Skylar grumbled.
Language. Whatever, Steve Rogers.
Nice Captain America reference. Nate ruffled his sister's hair on his way out, which earned himself another scowl. She hated when he did that. That was what she got for bugging him about getting a girlfriend. You'd think Skylar would be busy enough with school, soccer, and her own social life, but she'd been nosing around his love life for years. He needed to find his lobster, she said, proving she watched way too many Friends reruns. Nate input Chris's address into Google Maps and turned on the radio, flipping through several screechy pop hits, a maudlin 80s band, and a head-splitting metal scream disguised as a song, before he settled on a tolerable indie rock jam. He'd canceled his Spotify subscription to save money, which meant he was always at the mercy of the radio gods, but sometimes the DJ powers that be threw him a bone. Half an hour later, he arrived in Beverly Hills, the land of the rich, famous, and obscenely wealthy. Multi-million-dollar mansions, expensive cars, and tall, skinny palm trees flashed by as Nate maneuvered his old Honda Civic through the perfectly manicured streets. He loved his car, but he'd never been more conscious of how out of place it looked amongst all the Ferraris and Lamborghinis. Still, nothing prepared him for the sight of Chris's house. He'd known she was rich, but holy shit. Nate passed through the security gates, parked in the circular driveway, and stared at the enormous modern structure looming before him. It was all glass, gray stone, and white concrete, and it looked less like a home and more like a hotel. Two ultra-wide flights of stone stairs flanked the mansion, leading to the back of the property. The first level, nestled between the stairs, was a white marble rectangle framing a wall of windows and a set of intimidating double doors that looked like they could withstand a nuclear blast and wouldn't be out of place in a spy movie. The upper levels were less neat. There were so many layers of roofs, jutting angles, and outdoor staircases he couldn't discern how many floors the house had. Nate's phone buzzed with a new text as he tried to figure out whether that was an infinity pool on the second, third floor terrace.
"Chris, stop dawdling in your car. Hondas are not that nice, and you have a job to do."
His head snapped up. He scanned the house for a sign of her in the windows, but he couldn't see shit through all that tinted glass. His thumbs flew over his keyboard. "Nate, is that any way to speak to your boyfriend?" He sent the message flying through cyberspace with a smirk. Chris's plan to ensure Gloria's interest in him was devious and all too fitting for Hollywood. A role within a role. Very meta. And he was going to enjoy the hell out of it. Chris's reply came just as swiftly.
"Chris, if you're not out of your car in 30 seconds, I will force you to wear salmon shorts and Sperry's on our next date, boyfriend."
10 seconds later, Nate was out of the car and ringing the doorbell. He'd expected a maid or butler to open the door. This seemed like the type of joint that would have a butler. So when he found himself face to face with Chris herself, he chalked his speechlessness up to surprise. Except he was more surprised by her appearance than he was by her greeting him. Instead of designer clothes and heels, Chris wore a soft-looking white t-shirt that slipped off one shoulder, and a pair of tiny, green shorts that bared miles of smooth, tanned leg. She had no makeup on, or if she did, Nate couldn't tell, and she'd twisted her hair into a loose, messy bun that begged him to unravel it and run his fingers through those thick, luxurious locks. No longer an untouchable ice princess, but a girl. A ridiculously touchable, beautiful one. Chris crossed her arms over her chest.
"My eyes are up here."
It was only then that he realized he'd been laser-focused on the lacy bra strap her shirt revealed. "Get it together." He lifted his gaze and relaxed into his confident playboy persona the way he slipped on his favorite t-shirt. Smooth, comfortable, and so easy it was like breathing. "Yes, I know. I'm well acquainted with the female anatomy," Nate drawled. "Every last inch." Chris stared at him a beat too long before she spun on her heels and marched through her foyer.
"Good. You brought your A-game. Save it for Gloria."
Nate shut the door behind him and followed her through the marble corridors and enormous rooms. She gave him a brief description of the spaces they passed. The indoor theater, the game room, the two-story living room, before they stopped in the kitchen, which was larger than the restaurant where they ate dinner the other day. He ran his hand over the smooth marble of the center island. "So, where is the glorious Gloria?" A soft chuckle escaped his throat when Chris's nose wrinkled at his cheesy play on words.
"She's with her trainer. She'll be done in a half hour, and she always comes to the kitchen afterward for one of her disgusting hemp smoothies."
Chris examined him from head to toe.
"Good call on the shirt. She loves the Brooks Brothers look."
"I always dress for the part." Nate gave her his own once over. "Speaking of which, Should I be offended or flattered that you didn't feel the need to dress up for our official debut as boyfriend and girlfriend?
Neither, because this debut is about as real as the stepmonster's breasts.
Chris hitched her shirt up on her shoulder, covering her bra strap, much to his disappointment.
And FYI, this is my yoga outfit. I didn't have time to change before you arrived.
Yoga, huh? His mind conjured up some very interesting images of Chris in the downward dog position. She rolled her eyes as if she knew exactly what he was thinking.
Do you remember everything I told you?
Of course. I'm a pro. Nate grabbed an apple from the fruit basket on the island and bit into it. He chewed and swallowed before he asked, Where's your staff? I'd expected to see maids, butlers, footmen. Another eye roll.
You've watched too much Downton Abbey. This isn't our full-time house, so we don't have a full staff. Rissa, the housekeeper, maintains everything for us. She has the weekends off.
If this was her family's secondary home, Nate couldn't imagine what their actual home looked like. Why do you need two houses in the same city?
What are you talking about? Our main house is in Seattle.
Realization washed over Chris's face and her eyes widened.
You didn't know that.
Shit. No.
It's something you would know if we were actually dating.
Yes. They stared at each other. Their dinner conversation the other night had been more topical than personal, save for their brief bonding moment over losing their moms, and they'd been so focused on getting the physical part of their plan right that they hadn't stopped to think about the fact that they should know basic things about each other, like where Chris was from. Nate felt a pang in his stomach that he attributed to the apple, not the fact that Chris was from Seattle and might leave soon.
She's not going to grill you about me,
Chris recovered, though a troubled look remained in her eyes.
We just have to act the part.
She might, if everything goes according to plan.
We'll worry about that later. For now, focus on getting her attention.
Nate finished his apple and tossed it into the state-of-the-art stainless steel trash can. That won't be a problem.
Good, because she's coming.
Sure enough, the sound of footsteps approached. That was their cue. Nate snapped into acting mode and leaned against the island, widening his stance while Chris pulled her bun loose and stepped between his legs. She looped her arms around his neck and he rested his hands on her hips, resisting the urge to fist her hair in his hand and crush his lips to hers. That would make this scene believable for sure, but he didn't want their first kiss to be fake. Like he said the other day, he wanted her to want it, beg for it. Chalk it up to Nate's innate competitiveness. Nothing got his blood pumping like a good challenge, and he couldn't think of a better challenge than melting the ice princess in his arms. But work came first. The footsteps got louder, and Nate's pulse kicked up another notch. Showtime.
Chapter 7. Nate was so close, Chris could see the gold flecks in his eyes. His hands gripped her hips, firm and strong, and heat radiated from him in lazy, sensual waves. It was an act, but she'd never been more aware of every breath, every movement, every second ticking by.
You smell good.
His soft drawl scraped against her skin. So rough and textured, Chris could feel it. Her thighs clenched, and her nipples tightened in response. Custom-made perfume, she managed. From Paris.
I like it.
Nate lifted one hand from her hip and trailed it over the curves of her waist and breast, the slope of her shoulder, and the slender column of her throat before he curled his fingers around the nape of her neck. He wrapped his other arm around her and yanked her close until they were flush against each other. Chris's pulse pounded in her ears. Frantic. Wanting. What are you doing?
Practicing.
Nate rubbed his thumb over the soft skin of her neck, and she bit back a moan. How could one simple motion feel so good?
Since we have to rely on our physical chemistry to make this believable.
That doesn't mean you can grope me at will. Amusement crinkled in the corners of his eyes.
You're free to leave any time.
It's my house.
I meant leave my arms.
Nate's amusement deepened.
Do you want me to stop, princess?
He lowered his head and pressed his lips on the curve between her neck and shoulder.
Chris tried to control her breathing. What was wrong with her? She wasn't the type of girl who turned to putty in a guy's hands. Yet here she was, trembling like a virgin when he hadn't done more than hold her and kiss her neck.
But she wasn't the only one affected. Nate's arousal pressed against her stomach like a steel pipe. It sent another bolt of lust through her, which she shoved aside so she could focus on the task at hand. Two can play this game.
No. Why would I? This is all part of our act.
She lowered her voice so the last word was barely audible. She arched her back and pressed her hips against his, performing a small, slow grind that created delicious friction. Nate's entire body turned rigid, and she smiled.
Right.
Careful, princess, he growled. You're playing with fire.
Am I? Another grind. I thought I was playing with something else.
A hiss escaped his lips, but he didn't let go. Instead, he tugged on her hair hard enough for it to hurt and bit the curve of her neck in punishment. Pain and pleasure bloomed in equal measure. Chris sucked in a breath, unsure whether to slap him or kiss him senseless. She realized they might have to kiss as part of their act, and she wondered whether those kisses counted toward the one in their contract.
Oops, didn't think that one through.
Though the idea of kissing Nate no longer seemed as onerous. A delicate cough interrupted Chris's musing. Chris turned her head to see Gloria standing in the doorway, looking like workout Barbie in a black and green sports bra and leggings so tight they might as well be painted on. Her thick red ponytail swung around her bare shoulders, and her eyebrows arched in surprise at the scene before her.
Chris, darling, I didn't realize we had a guest, the step monster drawled. You should have told me. I would have whipped something up. It's bad manners not to offer a guest something to eat and drink.
Right. Chris would rather eat a poisoned apple from Snow White than anything the step monster cooked.
That's all right,
Nate said easily. He lifted his head to face Gloria, though his arms remained wrapped around Chris.
I have all I need right here.
Damn, he was good.
Gloria
swept her gaze over Nate. Her face remained neutral, but Chris spotted the spark of interest in the step monster's eyes as she took in Nate's lean, powerful frame and fallen angel face. The guys Chris had sent the step monster's way last week hadn't turned her head, despite their good looks. But as Chris suspected, there was something about Nate that set him apart from your typical L.A. pretty boy.
I don't believe we've met.
Gloria walked over and extended one pale, perfectly manicured hand, like she expected Nate to kiss it.
I'm Gloria.
No mention of her marital status or her relationship to Chris noted.
Nate.
His hand dwarfed Gloria's as he shook it.
The handshake lingered, not so long that it was overtly inappropriate, but long enough that the spark of interest in Gloria's eyes escalated to a flare.
Correction. He was very good.
Chris should have been pleased because wasn't this what she was paying him for?
But an irrational part of her wanted to yank their hands apart and hiss at Gloria like a territorial cat.
I'm Chris's boyfriend,
he added, just like he and Chris rehearsed. Chris watched the step monster's reaction closely. The news shouldn't have come as a surprise, given the position Gloria had found them in. But Gloria needed to think Nate was more than a random hookup. The redhead may be engaged to Chris's father, but she wasn't home free yet. They had another 5 months before the wedding, and Gloria was ambitious and cunning enough not to do anything that might jeopardize her future fortunes. She'd certainly been cunning enough to get Chris's father to scrap a prenup,
which meant she was entitled to half of Roger's earnings and assets gained during their marriage should they ever divorce. However, there was one thing that overrode Gloria's greed. Her envy. She seemed hell-bent on obtaining everything Chris had, whether that be a pair of rag and bone jeans or a new Porsche. Hell, she'd even hijacked Chris's summer in L.A. Gloria's obsession was downright disturbing, but it was also a godsend because it made her predictable. She wouldn't be able to resist making a play for Nate, especially since he was the first guy Chris had ever shown an interest in. Chris had planted the seeds all week by letting Gloria catch her in a lovey-dovey phone conversation or coming home with flowers. Sure enough, Chris spotted the tightening of Stepmonster's features, which told her Gloria was irritated Chris had snagged such a fine male specimen, followed by a calculating gleam, which meant she was devising ways she could snatch said male away from Chris. She couldn't be overt about it, but Chris was willing to bet Gloria would be more than satisfied with tempting Nate into an affair and dropping subtle hints about him cheating around Chris. Hubris and predictability had been the downfall of many a schemer. Chris hid a smile. She had her PI all lined up, waiting in the wings. Once Nate got Gloria alone and her PI did his job, it was game over. Sayonara. Don't let the door hit your ass on your way out for stepmother dearest. I didn't realize you were dating someone. Gloria tightened her ponytail in a way that highlighted her generous breasts. Chris was gratified to see that Nate's gaze remained firmly on the redhead's face. We've only been in L.A. for a few weeks. Seems soon for you to get a boyfriend, the stepmonster added with the barest hint of suspicion. Nate and I met the day after I arrived, Chris lied smoothly. I had some car trouble. He spotted me on the side of the road and offered to help. Such a gentleman. Nate's mouth twitched. No doubt he remembered what she'd said to him at dinner the other night. You're no gentleman. You're far too arrogant.
What can I say? He smiled down at her.
His face so open and genuine, Chris almost believed they were in an actual relationship, even though she knew he was acting.
I can't resist helping a beautiful woman.
How sweet, Gloria said sourly. Did you come in here for something other than idle chit-chat? Chris arched an eyebrow. I'm making a smoothie. I just finished my training session. Gloria's ponytail swished as she walked toward the fridge with an exaggerated sway of her hips. For Nate's benefit, no doubt. He's not taking any more clients, but I can put in a good word for if you like, darling. You could benefit from some extra time in the gym. Oh, please. Chris wasn't stick thin. She had boobs and curves and a butt, but she was healthy and fit, and Gloria could shove her extra gym time up her ass. Thanks, but no thanks, she replied with an equal amount of saccharin. Nate works me out just fine. Nate let out a wheeze that he quickly covered up with a cough. The fridge door slammed shut. Gloria set a carton of almond milk on the counter and pursed her lips. How nice to hear. Translation, die, bitch. Speaking of which, Nate and I have to work out now, Chris drawled. Hope you enjoy your smoothie.
It was nice meeting you, Nate added after he recovered from Chris's unexpected double entendre. I'm sure I'll see you again.
Gloria's red lips curved up into a slow smile. Yes, you can count on it.
Chapter 8. Seducing Gloria was the easiest and hardest job Nate had ever had. Easy because Gloria fell for his and Chris's ruse hook, line, and sinker. Hard because Nate had to pretend to be Chris's boyfriend, a shitty one who flirted with her future stepmother behind her back at that, while not touching her the way he wanted to. Yes, they cuddled and hugged when Gloria was around, but that wasn't the same. Nate wanted Chris alone. For real. No acting. He wanted her beneath him, screaming his name while he drove into her. He wanted her mouth around his cock and his fingers bringing her over the edge and...
Dude, careful!
Elijah's voice jerked Nate out of his fantasies. Nate cursed as coffee spilled over the edge of the mug and scalded his fingers. He quickly set the drink on the counter and washed his hands with ice-cold water before cleaning up his mess. It had only been 2 weeks since he and Chris started their boyfriend-girlfriend act, and he was already in over his head. That was what happened when you spent time with someone almost every day. For their plan to succeed, he had to be around Gloria, which meant regular trips to Chris's house. Not that Nate was complaining. The mansion boasted everything a guy could want, and he enjoyed hanging out with Chris. She was spoiled, yeah. But he supposed it was hard not to be when you had that many zeros in your bank account. Plus, she was funny and incisive and hot as hell. No bullshit, which he appreciated. And she smelled amazing. Nate stifled a groan. 2 weeks in and he was already blurring the lines between business and pleasure. What had started as a challenge, melt Chris's icy exterior, and side hustle, the whole seduce Gloria scheme, had turned into something else entirely. And he and Chris hadn't even had a proper kiss yet. Fuck.
What's with you lately? You've been distracted as hell.
Elijah crossed his arms over his chest. With his spiky blue hair, nose ring, and penchant for black, he would be more at home in a hipster Brooklyn dive bar than a trendy all-white L.A. cafe named Alchemy. Then again, his father was the cafe's owner, so he didn't have much choice when it came to where he worked.
Lot on my mind.
Nate made a new latte. This time, he stopped the machine right as the coffee hit the brim. He couldn't afford any mess-ups. Elijah was an old friend from high school and had done Nate a solid getting him this job. Decent salary, nice co-workers, clean environment, and flexible enough when Nate had to adjust his shifts for auditions or family emergencies. He didn't want to fuck it up by giving Elijah's dad, a notorious hard-ass, any reason to fire him. Luckily, Elijah's father was rarely around, and Liza, the manager who ran daily operations, loved Nate. Still, better safe than sorry.
I can see that. At the risk of sounding like a clingy girlfriend, we haven't hung out in weeks.
Elijah popped an eyebrow.
Wait. Do you have a new girl? That why you've been so MIA lately?
Not really, Nate said with a twinge of guilt. He spent most of his time with Chris these days, to the detriment of his other relationships.
Sorry, man. Let's hang soon. I'll kick your ass at Call of Duty.
Elijah snorted, all ire gone. That was the great thing about him. He never held a grudge.
You couldn't kick my ass if I glued it to your foot.
Nate finished the latte art and smirked at his friend. Want to bet? $20 says I can.
Since when do you bet money?
Never. Nate never bet with money. But he had $7,500 sitting pretty in his bank account. $20 wasn't that much money, and he was in a good mood. He'd gotten a call back for the crime thriller role.
It's a good day.
Nate rounded the corner and walked over to the dark-haired woman who'd ordered the coffee. She smiled her thanks. She was a regular who kept to herself most of the time, but she was nice and tipped well, which was more than he could say for most customers.
Can I get you anything else? He asked.
No, thanks.
The woman's gaze strayed to the entrance like she was waiting for someone. She did that a lot, except Nate had never seen her here with another person.
I'm okay for now.
If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
Nate flashed a charming grin and returned to his spot behind the counter. Elijah was on his phone playing some stupid game, and Nate was refilling the pastry case when the chimes over the door rang. He saw Elijah straighten out of the corner of his eye.
Dude, that's her, his friend hissed.
Who? Nate slid a croissant onto the shelf, not really caring about the answer. Elijah had more crushes than a middle school girl.
The hot chick with the attitude, the one who's always here on the weekends, though she hasn't been around in a while.
Nate stilled. He looked over the counter, and sure enough, there was Chris, sitting at her usual table by the window.
You think she'll go out with me?
Elijah sounded dreamy. He'd gone on and on about Chris since he first laid eyes on her at the beginning of the summer. It had been annoying then, but it was downright irritating now. A muscle ticked in Nate's jaw. Doubt it. He resisted the urge to yell, "That's my girlfriend," because that wasn't accurate, was it? He and Chris put on an act around Gloria, but in their free time they were free to do whatever and whoever they wanted. The thought incited alarmingly murderous thoughts in Nate's head. "Ye of little faith!" Elijah's eyes remained on Chris while he swiped his tongue over his lip ring. Nate wanted to yank the damn thing out. "I may not be a pretty boy like you, but I know how to get a girl all hot and bothered." "Not if you keep saying things like hot and bothered. Watch and learn." Elijah ignored Nate's barb and sidled off to take Chris's order, even though she was sitting in Nate's section. Nate watched, pastries forgotten, as Elijah said something that made Chris smile. There was no way Elijah was her type. He couldn't imagine a princess like her going for someone with blue hair and facial piercings. But what did he know about her, really? He knew she was from Seattle and had a summer job working for top Hollywood publicist Bobby Radin, not of her own volition. He knew she was Filipino and that her father earned his first fortune in the video games world before he branched off into other sectors like e-commerce and technology. He knew little things like her favorite color, green, astrological sign, Scorpio, and the way her nose scrunched when she saw something she didn't like. He knew she was beautiful and sarcastic and made him want her more than he'd ever wanted anyone in his life. But he didn't know her. What made her tick? What made her afraid? What type of guy she liked? Nate assumed she went for the douchey trust fund types, the ones with college degrees who summered in exclusive European resorts and bought girls diamonds on the third date because they could. That wasn't Nate. But that wasn't Elijah, either. Elijah took out his phone and handed it to Chris. Nate stifled a snort. There was no way Chris would. "What the fuck?" His jaw unhinged when Chris input what had to be her number and handed it back to Elijah with a smile. Who was this girl? She never smiled that much. Scowls, yeah, eye rolls all the time, but smiles? Those were few and far in between. Now she was smiling at Elijah like he was Harry Styles and she was a tween fangirl. Nate's eye twitched as Elijah bounced over with a huge grin on his face. "I got her number," his friend said, sounding giddy. "Told you, I'm irresistible." "Congrats." Nate remembered the pastries and shoved the remaining croissants into the pastry case with more force than necessary. "Good for you." He hadn't told Elijah or anyone else about his arrangement with Chris. As far as his friend knew, Chris was just another customer, one who'd given him her number. Nate's eye twitched again. "She's nicer than I thought," Elijah mused. "I talked to her once or twice before, but in passing, I thought she'd be one of those stuck-up types. But she's not so bad. A bit prickly, but she's hot as hell, so I don't mind." "Did she place an order?" Nate abruptly changed the subject. The last thing he wanted was to listen to Elijah ramble on about how hot Chris was. He had eyes, thank you very much. "Oh yeah, vanilla oat latte with a double shot of espresso and a blueberry scone." "I'll make it." Nate started the order before Elijah could argue. "There's another customer." While his friend took care of the overly bleached blonde in a pink tracksuit, Nate put the order together and stalked over to Chris. He couldn't slam the drink on the table unless he wanted another spill situation, but the plate with the scone hit the wooden surface with an angry thud. She didn't flinch.
"Someone woke up on the wrong side of the bed today?"
"Wrong." He'd been having a great day until she came in and got all cozy with his best friend. "I don't know what you think you're doing, but you need to stop," he said. Chris raised one perfect dark brow and sipped her latte.
"I'm enjoying a drink at a cafe, the one you work at. I don't think your boss would be happy with you shooing away paying customers."
"That's not what I meant," Nate said through gritted teeth. "I'm talking about you and Elijah."
"Who?"
"The guy you just gave your number to," he spit out.
Oh, blue hair.
Chris's expression cleared. She cocked her head and stared at him with a teasing smile.
Nate Reynolds, are you jealous?
He almost laughed out loud. No, I don't get jealous. Not over girls, anyway. Yes, Nate wanted Chris, but that didn't mean he was jealous. He was just protective of his friend. He was convinced Elijah wasn't her type, and who knew what nefarious plans Chris had up her sleeve. Her Gloria scheme proved she was capable of anything. At least, that was what he told himself. Chris broke eye contact and ripped off a piece of her scone.
Then why are you so concerned about who I give my number to?
I don't want you to hurt him, Nate said after a pause. That caught her attention.
What makes you think I would be the one doing the hurting?
She sounded offended. Because you're not the type of girl who would ever let your guard down enough to get hurt. The words spilled out before Nate could stop them. Damn. He hadn't planned to say that. He didn't even know where the sentiment came from. But it was too late. Both he and Chris froze, like they were afraid any movement on their part would bring the words crashing down until they splintered into a million pieces at their feet.
You don't know the first thing about me.
Chris broke the silence first. The Ice Princess shield was back, so thick and cold it froze the blood in Nate's veins.
How dare you act as if you do?
That wasn't true. They weren't best friends, but they'd gotten to know each other a hell of a lot better these past few weeks. Not that Nate was going to tell her that. He was pissed and confused as to why he was so pissed, so he simply turned and left without another word. He spent the rest of his shift avoiding Chris, but as luck would have it, she left at the same time he clocked out. They walked to their respective cars in silence. They'd have to make up eventually, thanks to the Gloria plan, but for now, Nate welcomed the animosity. It was better than wanting her and not being able to have her. He could tease her, flirt with her, hell, he could even kiss her. He had one unclaimed kiss on his docket. And for all their cuddling in front of Gloria, their lips had yet to touch. But he could never have her, because they weren't just from different cities, they were from different worlds, and the princess and pauper stories only ever ended well in fiction. Irritated, Nate flipped on the radio, hoping the music would silence his thoughts. He was glad he'd agreed to meet Skylar at the Santa Monica Pier tonight. He needed the distraction. He glanced in his rearview mirror and realized Chris's silver Mercedes was right behind him, even though they were going the opposite direction of Beverly Hills. He made a left. She made a left. He made a right. She made a right. Was she following him? Excitement and curiosity warred in his stomach. The thought of a stalker shouldn't have excited him, but it did, if the stalker was Chris. "I have issues," he said out loud. The song on the radio dropped its bass like it agreed with him. Jerk. Great. Now I'm angry at a song. Nate parked at a metered spot near the pier, and wouldn't you know it, Chris pulled into the space two cars behind him. Nate texted his sister to let her know he was here before he got out of the car and glared at Chris, who glared right back.
Are you following me?
Chris demanded. He laughed in disbelief.
You were driving behind me the entire time. Hard to follow you when I was first.
Maybe you sensed which way I was going.
Nate couldn't believe his ears.
That's insane, but not impossible. You think too highly of yourself. I have better things to do with my evenings than follow you around.
His phone chimed with a new text.
Skylar, I'm by the carousel. See you soon.
And I have better things to do than argue with you.
Chris tossed her hair over her shoulder and marched by him. Even in her crazy heels, she barely reached his shoulder.
Whatever.
Nate pocketed his phone and headed toward the pier. Their silence was awkward as hell, considering they were walking next to each other toward the same destination. Nate didn't even remember why they were mad at each other, but he'd be damned if he caved first. After a couple of minutes, the Santa Monica Pier came into view. It was one of the most iconic spots in L.A., and while it was nice at any time of day,
It shined brightest at sunset. The jungle of neon lights and brightly colored rides battled for attention against the fiery oranges and deep purples streaking the skies, and the famous Ferris wheel spun lazily in the background, a comforting anchor to the chaos. Nate and Chris both turned toward the carousel.
"Don't say it," Chris said without looking at him. "I'm meeting someone at the carousel."
"Me too," Nate paused.
"Who are you meeting?"
Was it a date? The possibility set his teeth on edge.
"None of your business."
Chris crinkled her nose at a passing group of tourists wearing fanny packs. Fine. Whatever. He'd find out soon enough anyway. As they approached the carousel, Nate kept his eye out for Chris's date. The douche in the Ray-Bans and salmon shorts was a possibility. He screamed, "Look at me, I have money," and begged for a punch in the face. But a girl appeared and wrapped her arms around his waist right as the thought crossed Nate's mind. Before he could continue scouting, he heard Skylar call his name.
"Nate, over here," she waved.
One of Skylar's soccer camp friends had dropped her off, and in her pink tank top and jean shorts, she looked younger than her 17 years. Nate's face softened into a smile. He was looking forward to a night of cotton candy and silly rides with his sister. It'd take his mind off.
"Chris!" Skylar waved again. "Oh my God, you guys came at the same time! What a coincidence!"
Nate's smile dropped. What the fuck? How did his sister know Chris? What the hell was going on?
"Hi!"
Skylar hugged Chris and gestured at Nate.
"This is Nate, my brother. Nate, this is my friend Chris. I met her at, the movies. I thought it'd be fun if we had a group hang tonight. The more the merrier, right?"
She beamed, ignoring the daggers flying from Nate's eyes.
"Plus, you guys are around the same age. I thought you'd get along, make new friends and all that."
Oh, God. The pieces clicked into place. "I think she'd like you. You're around the same age, and she is so pretty." The girl Skylar had been talking about a few weeks ago, the one she wanted to set him up with, was Chris. One look at Chris and Nate saw she'd deduced what was going on as well, because her expression matched his. Pure horror. There was no doubt about it. They were on a matchmaking date.
Chapter 9. Murder is a crime, Chris reminded herself for the umpteenth time, as she, Skylar, and Nate waited in line for the Ferris wheel. You cannot murder a 17-year-old girl. She liked Skylar. But after tonight, the girl would be lucky if Chris didn't throttle her. She couldn't believe Skylar had set her up on a date with her brother. Or that her brother was Nate, of all people. What were the fucking chances? At least Nate seemed as shocked as she was. He'd been silent the entire time and let Skylar gab away to her heart's content. Did I tell you Nate's an actor? The blonde's eyes gleamed with mischief. If she sensed the hostility in the air, she didn't show it. He's been in a few TV shows and movies. You should watch Four Kings. It's his latest movie. Came out last year. And he played one of the mobster's henchmen.
Chris doesn't like mobster movies, Nate said, handing the Ferris wheel operator their tickets.
Chris bristled at the assumption. She didn't like mobster movies. But once again, Nate was pretending he knew her. What she liked, what she didn't like, and it pissed her off. How do you know? She and Skylar asked at the same time, though Chris's voice was far sharper. Skylar had no clue Chris and Nate already knew each other. Chris doubted Nate had told his sister he was seducing an older woman for money. Not that Gloria was much older than him. She was 27. He was 23. A 4-year difference.
Just a guess.
Nate stepped inside the gate. Chris followed him, her blood heating at the certainty in his tone. Well, you're a shitty guesser.
You're saying you do like mobster movies?
Nate's smirk made her want to punch him in the face. I do.
What's your favorite one?
Crap. She scrounged her memory for a mob movie. Any mob movie. The Godfather.
A classic?
Nate nodded.
I especially love the scene where they put the severed dog's head in Johnny's bed.
Chris's stomach churned at the mental image. Me too. She wasn't a big dog fan. She preferred cats, who were independent, aloof, and far less yappy. But who the fuck would be sick enough to cut off a dog's head, even if it was fiction? Nate burst into laughter. Her brow snapped into a frown. What's so funny?
You're so full of shit.
Nate grinned a genuine grin, and the sight hit her in her heart and lower belly at the same time. Flutters and heat. A 1-2 punch.
It was a horse's head, not a dog's head. And they put it in Jack Woltz's bed, not Johnny's.
Double crap. I forgot, Chris said with as much dignity as she could muster. I watched the movie a long time ago.
It's one of the most iconic scenes in the film, and probably Hollywood history. Trust me, if you've ever watched The Godfather, even if it wasn't your favorite, you'd remember it.
Damn it. You tricked me. She couldn't bring herself to be that upset. Maybe it was Nate's smile or the electric energy in the air. Whatever it was, it smoothed the jagged edges of her earlier ire until they melted into a warm pool at the pit of her stomach. Nate's eyes crinkled into a wider smile, and the warmth intensified.
Sorry,
he said, not sounding sorry at all.
Hey, you gotta get in a pod, the operator interrupted, looking annoyed. Everyone's waiting on you. You and Skylar go together, Nate said. Oh.
He frowned.
Sky?
He and Chris swiveled their heads toward the other side of the now closed gate, where Skylar clutched her stomach with a faux pained look on her face. Chris knew it was fake, because she could see the smile threatening to break out on the girl's mouth.
I'm not feeling well, the blonde announced. Must be the cotton candy. You guys stay and have fun. I'm going home.
The hell you are, Nate growled. Get over here, Sky.
Nope,
his sister shook her head.
I'm going to vomit.
The operator paled.
You're not getting on this ride if you feel sick, he said.
Nate, keys, please.
Skylar let out a dramatic moan.
I need to lie down.
After much cursing and scowling from both Nate and the operator, who complained that they were holding everyone up, Nate handed his keys to Skylar and told her where he'd parked.
How am I supposed to get home? He demanded.
Chris can drive you, Skylar said, innocent as a doe. You wouldn't mind, would you, Chris?
Chris's urge to throttle the other girl resurfaced with a vengeance.
No,
she grumbled.
Great. See you two later. Have fun.
Skylar rushed off, leaving Nate and Chris alone with the irate operator, who shooed them into a pod with a dark glare. Your sister isn't very subtle. Chris stared over the edge of their pod as the wheels creaked to life and they rose into the air. The people on the ground grew smaller and smaller until they were nothing more than specks amidst all the lights. Further out, the dark, white-tipped waves of the Pacific crashed against the beach in a hopeless embrace, always chasing, never catching. Doomed to arrive on shore only to get sucked back into the vastness of the sea, proving that you couldn't ever escape who you were.
No, she isn't. Nate drummed his fingers on his thigh. I'm going to kill her.
Not if I kill her first.
Chris tore her gaze away from the view and focused on the man sitting across from her. His mouth kicked up into a smile.
How'd you two meet? Don't say the movies, because no one talks of the movies, much less make new friends.
He paused.
You're not